I have told you that what God does not like is suspicious clapping. God uses your clap to open doors. Sometimes the sign that you are here and you're ready to receive of God and for your expectation not to be cut off is connected to your clapping and getting ready to receive what God has for you. Give your neighbor a high five and tell the person, get ready. God will come your way. Amen. Dr. Sapon, you're welcome. God bless you. It's great to have you in the house. He's one of our dear friends and also a friend of our senior pastor. Anytime we see him here, we're always excited. Welcome home. God bless you. Amen. Church, let's celebrate him. My Father in the Lord has given me an opportunity to bring us the word of God this morning, giving honor to whom honor is due. Please help me celebrate him for this opportunity. Last week, the Throne Room Sermon Series began, and Pastor Sheila kicked start with this series. She spoke to us about the revelation of the throne. How many of you were here? Wow, it was awesome. Let's celebrate God's gift. Awesome. If you're not here, I encourage you to get the message and listen to it all over again. I'll say you've missed, but you can make up when you go back and then get the sermon, listen to it all over again. Amen. And it's going to bless your life. Amen. But I want to be generous this morning and give you the three truths she shared with us. And the first is the throne room is a place of reverence. The quality of our worship is directly related to the way we see God. Secondly, the throne room is a place of revelation. Genuine worship always begins with revelation. And the final truth is, the throne room is a place of response. Genuine worship always leads to a response. And I'm encouraging you to just go for the message. This is just a tip of the iceberg. There's a lot in store for anyone who missed that. Even if you heard it, go back, listen to it all over again, and it's going to bless your life. Amen. This morning, I'm speaking to us about the authority of the throne, and I believe that God is going to use this message as a build-up to what we have already received, and it's my prayer that whatever God has for you, you receive it before you go back home. Amen. When you came, you receive a bulletin. Your bulletin, there's a sermon note. It looks like this. I invite you to take along as we go through God's word. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask for grace and utterance to speak as I should. I ask that you help me and that you will speak through me and bless all of us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Main scripture is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Let's hear the word of God. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Anytime you hear this scripture, the best thing you always have to do is to go back and find out what happened before we arrive at this level. And when you go back, I'm just going to paraphrase. There's a scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he took it, not robbery, but he brought himself of low, taking of himself that attitude of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and therefore, even to the point of death. And we get to this place where God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every other name. So, before Jesus got to this level, he had paid the price to qualify, to be exalted, to sit on the throne and reign in authority and power. There are different types of thrones. Everywhere you go in the world, you see a monarch or you see a chief or you see a king. And even in some of us, our villages, we have chiefs. Who has a chief in his village? Have you realized that the power that your chief has in your village cannot be compared to the paramount chief? Because the paramount chief rules over the whole community. So he has more power. than everyone. And because he has power, when he speaks, his word goes far than the smaller chiefs. In my home, there's a chief, and those of you who were at my father's funeral would testify. You saw my uncle who came, and then he brought this thing, and then he just wanted to flex muscle. But where I come from in the Ashanti region, there is a bigger one. It's called Otumpo. Amen. When he speaks, everybody catches cold. In fact, when the queen died, she said nobody should work that day. Everybody should stay at home and issued a curfew. Apart from him, I'm here to see anybody who has ever issued a curfew in Ghana. He did it, and it was a discussion in Greater Accra, but where we were, nobody went out. Because where the word of the king is, there's what? Power. So for the throne to be more powerful, the person who is on it should reflect the identity of the throne. And the only time we had a coup in heaven was when the devil became rebellious because he wanted to what? Take over the throne from God and then sit upon the throne. But what happened? He did not succeed. He lost it because that is the power of God. And God will never cede his authority to the enemy. Amen. And every other country may have suffered one way or the other. For instance, Ghana, we are in what? Our fourth republic. It tells us that there have been overthrown of government. There have been overthrown of what? President. So we are praying that this fourth one will remain forever and ever. Amen. But what am I sharing this with us? I want you to understand that every king, every priest, or every chief, no matter how they want to reign, their reign has a limit. No matter how they want to be in power, they will always what? Not stay there forever, because their time of reign would definitely what? Come to an end. But when it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, from the last time I checked, which is today, August 24, he's still on the throne for 2004 years and he's still reigning in glory, in power, in majesty, and in honor. No king will be able to compare himself to him because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shout a bigger amen. Amen. So we are going to learn three lessons about the authority of the throne. And the first is, God has highly exalted him. God has exalted him. And from the passage we saw, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. Jesus' journey to exaltation is a testament of his humility, obedience. He willingly submitted to the Father's will, even to the point of death. Because of this, God has what? Highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every other name, signifying supreme authority and honor. And in Ephesians chapter 1, 20-21, we see Paul writes that God raised him from the dead and seated at the right hand of the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is not that is named not only in the age, but also in that which is to come. Hebrews also tells us that Jesus, having become so much better than angels, as he was by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they, underscores that this his unique position of authority and honor. He is the exact representation of God's being and sustained all things by his power. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 also highlights that Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God, received the Holy Spirit and poured it out upon his followers. This outpouring demonstrates his authority and fulfillment of God's promises through him. So we see that all of us do not attend the same school, but there is something that differentiates wherever, whichever school you attended. That's what the school logo or crest. When I see your crest, it tells me where you went to school. When you also see mine, it also tells you where I went to school. And in the realms of the spirit, when somebody accepts Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior, there is a seal that is placed upon him. And that seal is the seal of the Holy Spirit. And may I say this morning, if you are here and you are born again, and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, there is the seal of the Holy Ghost upon your life. This is why you're not supposed to be afraid of witches, wizards, demons, principalities, powers, or anything that is named after the devil. Because what is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And because the greater one lives in you, you are an overcomer. Because you carry the power of God in you. And therefore, the enemy cannot do anything to you. Am I in church or I'm not in church? Because you carry the power of God and you have the seal of the Holy Spirit upon you, when the enemy comes against you, the Lord lifts up a standard against the enemy. And this morning I came to remind you that you are untouchable. You are unstoppable. And nothing of the enemy will be able to destroy the plan of God for your life. Because the power of God has earmarked and set you apart. And the devil acknowledges the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what Revelation 5:12 proclaims. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This heavenly declaration affirms Christ's worthiness and supreme exaltation due to the sacrifice of his life. So he has earned it by dying on the cross. He has earned it by giving his life as a ransom to many. And because of that, God has exalted him. And for as long as the earth remains, God will forever be exalted, and the name of Jesus will forever be exalted above every other name. Reminds me of the story of Novak Djokovic and then Carlos Alvarez. Those of you who are tennis stars knows them. In fact, I don't like Novak Djokovic because he beat my superstar, Roger Federer. There was one Sunday after service when I was watching the Wimbledon final. Federer was just one win away to become the greatest of all time. But this guy said no. Even though at the point of championship set, he maneuvered his way and tilted the whole team to suit him, and he won. And he broke his record. In fact, I think for the last 4 years, nobody had beaten him at Wimbledon. He comes and then wins. And he was facing a 20-year-old who was playing his first Grand Slam. So he was super excited. But something happened. He took the first lead. But the second lead, Carlos won. Carlos won to take the second set. And it provoked him because he felt he's entitled to win. He became upset. And he hit his racket on the floor. And it attracted a fine of £6,000. I know some of you are already multiplying 6,000 by 20 or 21. Just to know how much he paid at Wimbledon. He got provoked to the extent that everybody saw he was angry, was throwing tantrums, and at a point he even took it to the fans in the stadium. And Carlos maintained his cool and got to the point of winning. Carlos showed mental toughness and exhibited composure, and his calmness got him to the finish line, and he won his first Grand Slam. Even though both men are religious, the humble attitude of Alcaraz was evidenced through the match. And I can conclude that God lifted him because of his humility to win his first Grand Slam. And many of us, we think we are humble. Yes, we think we are until we are confronted with life situations. When somebody offends you, that's the only place where you can write and tell us whether you're humble or not. Or when you have somebody in your fingers, somebody you've mean, and the person has fallen into your trap. You've timed the person, and today you have the person in your trap. It's at that place that we get to know whether you're humble or not. And many of us, we think we are humble. But at the car park, we know you're not humble. When they tell you where to park and you get upset and you start talking to them anyhow, you're not humble. Church service does not start in this room. It starts at the car park. The person who is leading you at the car park is leading you under the delegated authority of the senior pastor. So if you disrespect somebody at the car park, you are disrespecting the senior pastor. If you talk to them anyhow, you are talking anyhow to the senior pastor, because they are there under his instruction. Imagine if all the toilets in this place or the washroom are not kept neat. How do you use it? They are there, they are neat because somebody has decided to keep it nice for us to use it. When ushers come and they tell you to say, I'll not sit. We know you are the boss. We know you are a CEO. But when you enter here, somebody is greater than you. His name is Jesus. He is your boss. So respect the person who he has put in place to help you. Amen. If you serve and somebody has abused you, we are sorry. Don't say you'll not serve again. Continue to serve and God will bless you. Amen. And any of you see, those of you when you were chasing your wives, you didn't care where you park. When you saw them and you liked them, you park anywhere, you ran after them. You didn't even care that mad you were jumping. You come to this nice paved grounds and they tell you park here and you don't want to park. My car is nicer. But when you saw a nice lady, you pursue her. Tell the person he didn't come to church today. Let's be humble, okay? It shouldn't just be, I am humble in words. Be in character. Because God will always oppose the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. There are many people seated here who have said they will never do good again. Because somebody, because of ungrateful attitude, you help them. And they didn't respond. Or you needed help, they turned their back on you. Understand that when Jesus healed 10 lepers, it was only one who came to say thank you. The ratio is 10%. So don't let anybody stop you from doing good. Don't let anybody stop you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. Some of you, what keeps you in destiny is when you allow yourself to fulfill what God has put in your heart. If you are here and you said, over my dead body, will I help anybody again? Today, change your mind and let God use you to be a blessing and stay in destiny and in purpose, fulfilling God's plan for your life. Amen. When we recognize Jesus' exhortation, it influences how believers live daily. It calls for a life of obedience, service, and devotion to Christ. Amen. It leads us to our second truth, every knee bowing and every tongue confessing to Christ. And we see that in Philippians 2:10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The universal submission to Christ's authority is profound. Every knee should bow indicates total recognition of his lordship, covering all realms, heaven, earth, under the earth. This imagery speaks to the comprehensive nature of Christ's dominion. That's why Isaiah 45:23 says that I have sworn by myself that the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee should bow and every tongue take an oath. So whether spirit likes it or not, every knee will bow to him. Those of you who watched Michael Jackson's funeral, I think on September 3rd, 2009, the pastor who officiated that ceremony said something. He said, the king of pop has bowed his knee in death to the king of kings. So whether you like it or not, there will be a time that every knee will go before him in life or in death. That is why you don't have to put your life in materialism, because everything you have, one day you walk out away from them and you go and stand before him in judgment. So if you are here and you love money, one day it will not be important to you. If you like cars, one day they will put a key in your hands and your hands cannot fold because your hands will just let go. Because you came here with nothing and you go back with nothing. If you are clapping, clap. So do not let your life revolve around materialism. Let your heart beat after Christ and submit to his lordship. You come to God's house, it's time for worship and you don't want to worship. Why? Because your makeup will just be destroyed. God have mercy on you. And the men too, if I change my face, the girl that I've spotted, I want to go and talk to her, will not like me. Because say, I don't like the way you make your face when you're worshiping God. And some of you turn yourself to judges. You judge the worship when it's going on. And this song, they could have sung it a little bit higher. I don't like the note. I don't like it. Maybe it was C sharp or Z sharp. I don't know where the Z is. But when you enter into God's presence, remember where God picked you from. And remember how far he has brought you. Remember all the accidents you have survived. Remember all the sicknesses you have survived. Remember all the good things he has done for you. The mercies he has shown you. And when you come with that attitude. Some of you, when you are always talking about your classmate, and my classmate is there. Oh God, why me? You forget that also at the cemetery, you have classmate there. Or don't you know, are some of your classmates not dead? They are dead, but you are alive. And God's plan is still going on. That's why when you stand before the presence of God, remember the sure mercies of God and come with a posture to come and worship. Come with reverence. Come and serve him. Don't look at the person on your right. Don't look at the person on your left. Come and worship him because he alone deserves worship and praise. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God has shown you mercy. And it should reflect in your worship. Hallelujah. Romans 14:11 retrace this truth. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee will bow to him, and every tongue will confess to God. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Revelation chapter 5 verse 13 declares, and every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, and I heard saying, blessing, honor, glory, and power be to him who sit on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. If living things could find their voice to worship, how much more you created in the image and in the likeness of God. You cannot but to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Let them threaten you. They don't know whose you are. Let them try anything against you. They don't know whose you are. You serve the king whose all authority has been given to. They may have their say, but your God will have his way. I said they may have their say, but your God will have his way. Acknowledging Christ's lordship, our lives should reflect the acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord, submitting to his authority in all areas. This acknowledgement is not mere verbal, but is demonstrated through our actions and decision. Remind me of the story of Dr. Richmond Wandera. Richmond Wandera, at the age of 8, lost his father, was a breadwinner. Father left behind 5 children. And on that same day, he lost his mom emotionally. And it happened that when his father passed on, that was the time their rent has expired. And an African landlord had to survive, so he sacked them. And they became squatters. He said he was so upset. And he asked, so if you are God, why would you allow my family to suffer like this. So he became an atheist because of the experience that his family was going through. But one day, Compassion International discovered them, took them in. It's a Christian organization. Took them in, rented a place for them, got all of them to school, catered for them, and made sure that everything about their life went well. And at the age of 14, Richmond gave his life to Christ. And God helped him. Today, he holds a PhD in philosophy of leadership and now pastoring one of the fastest growing church, a Baptist church in Uganda, New Life Baptist Church. He is now an advocate for children, helping children to come out from the place of poverty in fulfilling God's plan for his life. He made the statement, life is more beautiful when we live not just for ourselves, but for others. Today he's living his life for others. And as we give to God and as we support the things of God, we create room for others to also know God and do unto others as it has been done for them, like Richmond's story. We are a few months away from our annual self-day, and I encourage you to begin preparing so together we can be a blessing to our community while we acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God, says, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We are still trying to give others and interfering with God's work within us. When we finally bow the knees to Christ, acknowledging his ultimate authority, we find true peace and purpose. Charles Spurgeon also says, every knee shall bow, even those that have refused to bow during life shall be made to bow in the life to come. The whole of rational creation shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Shout a bigger amen. Friends, the act of bowing every knee symbolizes worship. We are encouraged to worship Jesus with our lives by submitting to his leading. It brings us to our third truth, the Lordship of Christ. And that every knee and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Christ's authority extends beyond mere titles. It encompasses his divine power to rule and reign over all creation. Confessing Jesus as Lord is a declaration of his kingship and a recognition of his supreme authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 25, 27 explains, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. That's why when he went to hell, the Bible said that he took the keys of life and death, and said, death, where is your sting? If you are here and you're afraid to die, check your lifestyle. Nobody who is living for Christ and living well is afraid to die, because you know where you are going. And you also know when you're not living well, you know. So check your lifestyle. Those of you who are living, when you sleep, you sleep. You don't sleep like this. Because you know that when life ends today, you know where you are going. And I pray it is so for you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18 says, for by him all things were created, that in him, in heaven and that on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Hallelujah. All things were made for him and by him. And friends, when you go to China right now, they will show you a stupa that contains the ashes of Buddha. When you go to India now, they have a stupa that contains the ashes of Buddha. When you go to Nepal, you have a stupa that contains the ashes of Buddha, because he spread his ashes for his followers. When you go to Saudi Arabia, Medina, to the Green Dome, you will see the grave of Muhammad, because that was where he was buried. But when you go to Jerusalem, at the Holy Mountain, they will show you a tomb, and the tomb is empty, and has remained empty, because death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, he is God. That is why we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If death could not hold him captive, what can hold you captive? Sickness cannot hold you captive. Curses cannot hold you captive. Nothing will hold you captive, because you serve Jesus, who is alive. And I came to tell somebody who is about to give up, do not give up. Continue going, because you serve. Your maker is alive. He is still reigning, and will reign forever and ever. They may try everything against the name of Jesus, but he's still alive. He is still alive. He is seated on the throne. We will not give up. We will not stop praising him, because the grave is a sign. The tomb is empty. The tomb will forever remain empty. He is alive. Let me hear somebody celebrate the King of Kings this morning. He is alive. He is alive. Jesus is alive, and forever is alive. They will try every explanation, but the tomb remains empty. Revelation 19:16 says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When they bring their king, we bring the King of Kings. When they bring their Lord, we bring the Lord of Lords. Because he is matchless. He is sizeless. He is incomparable. Nothing can compare to him. That is the one you serve. That is the one who you are named after. Because he is Christ and God alone. Friends, living under the Lordship of Christ affects how we engage with our communities, sharing our faith, promoting justice and love. That's why some 2 verse 6 to 8 reveals God's decree. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son today. I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I'll give the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. This prophetic psalm recognizes Christ's kingship and his divine authority to rule over the nations of the world. John MacArthur, in his book, The Gospel According to Jesus, made this statement. The gospel call to faith presupposes that sinners must repent of their sin and yield to Christ's authority. J.I. Packer also said in his book, Knowing God, affirms that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the center of the Christian faith. To know him is to know life. To follow him is to walk in the light. And to serve him is perfect freedom. The New Testament proclaims his lordship over all things, calling us to bow before him in worship and in obedience. And friends, as we live today, let's live in light of this truth, embracing Christ's authority in our daily lives. Let's pray for God's help to humble ourselves and submit to Christ so that his glory will manifest in every area of our lives. Just want you to close your eyes. I want to ask you a simple question. Do you know him as your Lord and personal Savior? Does he have a relationship with you? if the world is coming to an end today, will you have a place in the kingdom of heaven? I just have some few minutes. If you are here and you say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I want you to rise and I will pray a simple prayer with you. Want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to give your life to him. The floor is open. Please, can you be on your feet as I pray with you? There comes a time in the house of God that certain decisions are personal. Nobody can help us make them. If you want to do that, please be on your feet. I will help you pray a simple prayer to give your life to him, to rededicate your life to him. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Wherever you are, just be on your feet. Some are at the balcony. I'm not going to let you come forward because certain decisions are personal and we have to be bold to make them. For those standing, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me.
For dying for me.
And saving me.
And saving me.
This morning.
I acknowledge.
That I am a sinner.
For with the heart.
I believe.
I believe.
And with the mouth.
With the mouth.
Confession. Is made unto salvation. Father, forgive my sins. And write my name in the book of life. Let the blood of Jesus speak for me.
And show me your mercy.
In Jesus' name. Amen. They will come to you and give you some cards, and after service, connect with you. God bless you. Church, shall we all stand and pray this prayer together? Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
We thank you. For exalting Jesus.
To the highest place.
And giving him a name. Above all names. Help us to bow.
Our knees.
And confess.
With our tongues.
That Jesus Christ is Lord. May we live under your authority. Bringing glory to your name. In all we do. In Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Shout a bigger amen. Put your hands together.